Amen.
Good to see you this morning once again. If you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to continue our study in the second chapter of Ephesians. Because I think that the 11 through 22 to us as Gentiles, especially, but to us as Christians, is just as important as the first 10 were. He says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the uncircumcision of the flesh made by hand." I ask you to remember as we get started this morning, because we will probably only get as much as our induction in this morning, the words in verse 11 where it says that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. There's a reason I want you to remember that statement, but I do. Wherefore, remember. That you being in times past, verse 12, that at the times you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promises and having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Listen to that. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and had broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God, listen, in one body, how? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17, and came and preached peace unto you, which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now listen to verse 19. For therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And for last verse, be 22, in whom also are builded together for an habitation of God, how? Through the Spirit. The reason I pointed out those scriptures before I get into my introduction, reason I pointed to those scriptures and those statements in those scriptures is because every commentary I've read on this passage put these last 11 verses as the Israelites. They're not. These 11 verses are to both Gentiles and Israelites. And what God is doing here is calling for no separation, but that we are all one in Christ. In Jesus Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And when I say these things, what I mean is this. That I'm a firm believer that before the foundation of the world, that God had an election. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how it happened. But I do know that God had an election. And in that election, he chose a remnant of mankind, both Jews and Gentiles, to be his children. He brought this a remnant of elected people for the world that was to be and gave them to his son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. A precious, glorious gift to the son. You might say, well, how could we be that to Christ? We are. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me how God could ever love us. Why God would ever save us. Why didn't God just condemn us and send us all to hell as we were born? But we do know these things to be true. God did not choose one nation over another. God chose the nation of Israel to be his nation upon the earth. I believe God went further than that. I believe God has a spiritual Israel. And most of the time, and he speaks of Israel in the Bible, he's speaking of spiritual Israel. And I think spiritual Israel is both Jews and Gentiles together. Now, a lot of people's going to look at that and say, I think you're wrong. I think I'm right. And I think this passage of scripture we just read proves everybody that. We cannot separate ourselves. We must put ourselves as Christians together. There's been too much separation in this world. It's time for Christians to stop separating themselves from other Christians. The Lord never told us to look at doctrine. The Lord never told us to look at how what we believe and what our churches say and all of these things. If we are Christians, we are to love one another. We are to love one another no matter who or what we are. There are things that do separate us as far as our worship goes, and that biggest thing be doctrine. But every true Christian believes the same thing about Jesus Christ, that he is Savior, no matter who you are. If we would read the Old Testament, we're going to go to John 3. If one would read the Old Testament, they would believe that the Gentiles would never have been included in salvation. And the picture that God set forth, because it appeared that God loved Israel. God does love Israel. When the New Testament came along, there was a division between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews thought they were the only ones that God loved. Kind of like some churches, or what calls themselves churches on the earth, where they think that they're the only ones going to heaven. They're not the only ones that God loved. God also loved the Gentiles. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most misused and one of the most abused scriptures in the whole Word of God. One of the most memorized scriptures by a bunch of people who have no idea what it says. This scripture has been debated throughout the centuries. There's one right thought and every thought is wrong. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word world has been debated for thousands of years. The Greek word for the word world is K-O-S-M-O-S in the Greek, cosmos. And Strong's concordance defines this word as an orderly arrangement. And listen, an orderly arrangement in a wide or narrow sense. The Greek word gives no indication, not one, that God is talking about every single solitary soul in the world. God does not love everybody in the world. God loves his elected children. God loves them and them only. If the word world absolutely means every single soul in the world, think about that. As some will say, God loves you because he says he does in John 3:16. That's not what God says. But let's just take their side of it. Let's say that God loves everybody in the world. Then God lied. There's no getting around it. If God said right there that he loved every single soul in the world, we know for a fact, without question, that God lied. How can you say that, Brother Randy? That's blasphemy. No. Because think about it. God hated Esau, did he not? Was not Esau in the world? God point blank in the scripture said he hated Esau. Well, what about Esau? All right, then what about Psalms 5:5 where he says he hates the workers of iniquity? There's not just Esau, there's some more. The only way to get around that is to say that God changed his love for them. But that's not what God said, was it? And that totally discounts who God is. God is that with God there is no variableness, neither shall of turning. God is immutable. He cannot change. The scripture says he's immutable. He cannot change. God never loved Esau. God never loved these workers of iniquity. God has eternal love. And anyone that he loves, he's always loved them. God cannot change, nor does he change. He did not come to love you. He's always loved you. If he loved you. But God cannot both love the entire population of the world and hate one single soul. So that totally kills the theory that God loves everybody in the world. Now there's a reason I went through all that. I got a long introduction here. The next thing for sure is, go to John 6, if you will. Christ could not have died for the entire population of the world and one single soul perished to hell. Other words, go back to Esau. Esau was never saved. He was never God's child. God hated him. And God doesn't change. God will never love and has never loved Esau. And to say that Christ died for every single soul in the world is to say that Christ died for Esau. You cannot say everybody in the world and discount the fact of Esau. Esau is God's total proof that he didn't love everybody in the world and Christ did not die for everybody in the world. The scripture and the word world is misused by a bunch of Arminians who don't know what they're talking about. In John chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord said, "For the bread of God which is come down from heaven and give up life unto the world." Looking at the word world in its right context, it must mean that God loves people beyond the Jews again. God did not love only the Jews, and he did not love all of the Jews. I heard someone say a while back that when they die, that all Jews will go to heaven. That's a lie. There's nothing in the scripture to support that. What I'm trying to get to is that when God talks about His love for Israel, He's not talking about the entire nation of Israel. When He talks about His love for the world, He's not talking about His love for the entire top population of the world. And when He talks about His Jesus Christ dying for the world, He did not talk about every single soul in the world. So looking at the word world in its right context, it must mean that God loves the people beyond the Jews. He loves souls of other nations, but no guarantee that He loves people of all nations. In other words, there may be some nations, some peoples in the world that God never loved any of. But we do know that God did not just love the Jews. He loved us Gentiles also. Paul speaking to the Gentiles, although it seems as though he's talking to the Jews, if you read the scriptures right in verse 11, it will tell you that he's speaking to Gentiles and not Jews. Romans 9. Second. God has a fold. When God elected a remnant of the population of the world before the foundation of the world, I believe that God created a fold. And I believe that that fold contains every single solitary one of the elect of God. And I believe when Adam sinned, every soul left that fold. In Romans, Paul spoke of a remnant. In chapter 9, verse 27, Paul wrote these words, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant shall be saved. The word remnant means a few or a part of a whole. So you take the whole of Israel, only a part is going to be saved. You take the whole of the Gentiles, only a part is going to be saved. Those whom are the elect of God, those whom were chosen before the foundation of the world, and those whom God put into the fold, is those that God calls spiritual Israel. Paul wrote on in Romans chapter 11, verse 5. He says in verse 5 there, he says, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Of who? Of both Gentiles and Jews. Paul also said in verse 2 of chapter 11, God hath not cast his people, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. He never knew. Why would God? He chose them. They're His. Whether they're Jews or whether they're Gentiles, it does not matter. God chose them before the foundation of the world and called them His children. He loves them. Only them does He love, but He does love them. He don't love every Jew. He loves everyone whom He chose before the foundation of the world, and has promised not to cast them away. So God, before the creation of the world, selected a remnant of mankind to be his children. This remnant, or as I called a fold, contains both Jews and Gentiles. Look at John, if you will. John chapter 10, verse 16. In John chapter 10, verse 16, notice what the Lord says here. He says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold," speaking to the Israelites, "them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." The Lord is talking about bringing Gentiles in with the Israelites, whom he had chosen, whom he had saved, and making one fold. Beloved, we as Jews and Gentiles are one people together. We are not different. We are not separate. We are all loved of God the same. We are all chosen of God before the foundation of the world. We were put into the fold of God, and therefore we are all one. We have one body of believers and one Savior. But Jesus said of that fold, there's others. Not of that fold, Gentiles, who are not Israelites. Think about that. He said, we have another, some other sheep. They're not part of this fold. They're not Israel. And we're going to bring them in. We're going to put them all together. And we're going to call them one people. The Lord's all about unison, isn't he? A church is to be one. Christians are to be one. No matter who we are. Black, white, red, yellow, Russian, American, Chinese, Japanese, it does not matter. Philippines, it does not matter what you are nationally in this world. If you are a child of God, you are the elect child of God. Back to Romans 11. So the Lord just told us that he has sheep that's not of that fold, but he's going to bring them in and make one fold and one shepherd. What the Lord was talking about in John chapter 10, verse 16, is engrafting. We had this. I love this. We had this, and it was wonderful study. And Romans 11 about the engrafting of Gentiles into Abraham. He says in verse 21 of Romans 11, "For God spared not the natural branches." The Jews couldn't do what they want to because they're Jews. The Jews were kept under the same standards as everybody else. And you have non-elected Jews in the world. And God did not spare them. These people that think that people go to heaven because they're Jews don't know what they're talking about. It says here that God spared them not. "Take heed that not, or lest, he also spare not thee." Think about it. Lost people need to think. Whether Jew or Gentile does not matter. God's not going to spare them either. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell," severity, "but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise, Otherwise, that also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. In other words, if God cut these Israelites off and God saved them, he can graft them back into the tree of Abraham. The tree of Abraham is nothing but Israel, spiritual Israel. And God took off the branches that were not his, and were not, and those that were not abiding in him. He can graft them back in. For if thou wert cut out of the tree, olive tree, which is a wild by nature, that's the Gentiles. If thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature, in other words, you're not an Israelite, but if you were grafted into the good olive tree, how much more shall thee, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that thou should be ignorant of this mystery, that not you should be wise unto your own conscience, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The Lord's talking about taking branches off a natural tree, grafting in Gentiles, and then becoming part of that tree. Now go to Genesis chapter 17, if you will. We're almost done with our introduction. Told you it was a long one. I have a reason for all this. In Genesis chapter 17, I believe God made all of us who are saved a part of Abraham's nation. He says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, talking about Abraham. And thou, he says, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Not just one, but of many nations. While we, the elect of God, were separated by birth in different nations, we are all one in Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 3, if you will. We're all one in Christ. That's my goal here. That's my object. That's what Paul's talking about here. It looks like he's talking about Israel, but verse 11 says he's not. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Verse 11 says he's talking to the Gentiles, even though it sounds like he's talking to Israel. People want to make out like the book of Ephesians is a book speaking about the Jews. It's not. It's a book talking about and to the elect of God. All of them. See? In the being a child of God, there's no difference. There's no difference between a man, a woman, white, black, brown, yellow, Israelites, Americans, Russians, Chinese, Japanese, Philippines. It don't matter what part of the world you're from. If you are a Christian, you are all the same in Christ, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by God's grace, love, and mercy. So the Lord says that there's no separation of nations in Christ. And we're all one. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Greek is the same thing as Gentile. It has the same meaning. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. I want to stop there for a second. When God talks about his children, he talks about them in male figures, doesn't he? When God talks about his angels, he talks about them in male figures, doesn't he? I think the scriptures, like once, maybe twice, speaks of daughters. But he always talks about the sons of God. He's not talking about me and Larry and Frank and Ronnie and Wendell. He's talking about all of us. You can substitute the word child or children and come up with the same thing. In heaven, we're going to be sexless, I believe. I don't think there'll be a male and female. We're going to be the children of God. I believe that's what God's telling us here. So he says, he goes on to say, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, all of you. You're all one. There's no difference. There's no separation. No matter what you are in this world, in heaven, you're one. Listen, he goes further. And if you be Christ, if you be a child of God in Christ Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed. Now stop right there for a second. Are we going to start now separating who's Jew and Gentile? Who's male and female? Who's black or white or yellow or brown or any other nationality? Or can we just accept the fact that even though we were born Gentiles and God's family, were Israelites spiritually? Because the Lord just told us that we are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to God's promise to Abraham. We Gentiles are the other sheep he spoke of. And John 10:16. And we are engrafted branches from the wild by nature trees he was talking about in Romans 11. And we were engrafted into the good olive tree, which is Abraham being the tree. And now we are part of Abraham's tree of many nations. If Israel is God's chosen nation, then would not all of the members of Israel be a part of that God's chosen nation? God did not choose unchosen Israelites. They're not his. He did not love them. He did not choose them. They are in hell right now. And if they're alive in this world, if they do not believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, I don't care who they are, they're going to hell. If Israel is God's chosen nation, then would not all the members of Israel be a part of God's choosing? Some people make all Jews to go to heaven because God loves them as a nation. But I ask, why if the Israel God chose and loves is the spiritual nation of Israel and not the earthly nation. That is what I see. I see the fold elected before the foundation of the world, the remnant, the two kinds of branches, the sheep, not of this fold, all being the natural tree, and the wild branches engrafted, all being spiritual Israel. This is how we're all one in Christ. Now here in chapter 2, and I only have a couple minutes, but we will get started. We see Paul writing about this Jew-Gentile being one sheepfold, one in Christ once again. Look at verse 11. I'm just going to get this tossed out because this is where I'm going to start tonight. Notice in verse 11, wherefore remember, we'll get to that, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Gentiles, isn't he? He didn't say you're being like Gentiles. He didn't say you're acting like Gentiles. That's not what the Lord just said. The Lord said that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. That's who you are. You are Gentiles in the flesh. Who are called uncircumcision, unrighteous, unholy, no good. By them which are called circumcision, that would be the Jews, and the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Who? The Gentiles and the flesh. Lost people. The uncircumcised, the ones that the Jews considered never having the ability to be saved. Worthless. Only thing they didn't realize a lot most of them was that they were just as worthless as we are. I mean, do I have to go back over again? All of the things the Israelites did to God, that they were never appreciative of anything God did for them? God was only appreciated by those who understood who God was. The only ones in the Gentile world that understands and appreciates God is those that understand who God is. being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Think about that. We're going to get into that tonight. I've already got some of this built. I got to build some more of it. But think about that. But you remember this. It don't matter who we are in this world. Once we become a child of God, we are no longer the property of this world, of our nationalities, or whatever we were. We are different. We have changed. We are new creatures created in Christ Jesus. We have all become one, and Christ has brought us into one fold together. And that's who God's talking about here. Not talking about, it sounds like he's talking about the Jews, but he's not. If you read verse 11, he's talking to Christians. It don't matter if you were a Gentile, if you act like a Gentile, you were still lost in the flesh. Once you're saved, you're changed. You're different. You're brought into the fold of God's elect because He chose you before the foundation of the world, and you're brought in together to be one. Well, we're all the same. There's neither bond nor free, male or female, any of those things. We're all one in Christ Jesus. All right, we'll get back to this tonight when we get into our study then.